Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and by the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In this episode, Lauren Williams interviews Dr. Manju Sheth for a conversation about medicine, immigrating to the U.S., and having the courage to pursue your passions, even if they don't seem practical.
Wherever she goes, Dr. Manju Sheth has always been a woman who wins. She's a physician at Harvard Vanguard Medical Associates, where she specializes in women's health. But she's not just a doctor. She also has a thriving second career in community journalism. Dr. Sheth is the host of Chai with Manju, a well-known celebrity interview series. She grew up in India in the 1980s, but moved to London in her mid-20s to study medicine. She's always loved storytelling, but it never felt like something she could pursue as a career. It was only later in the U.S. that she felt empowered to explore her passion. I'm Lauren Williams, and my conversation with Dr. Sheth brought up some fascinating questions about how upbringing can influence one's career path. What does it look like to make your own career later in life, one that doesn't seem possible for people that look like you?
I wanted to ask you a bit about your experience as a doctor. Is that something that you always wanted to do?
In some ways, yes, because I think my natural instincts are to fix everything around me and make things better, make people better. If I feel that somebody is not looking well or something needs to be done, I will always, always go out of my way. So I think if you have those instincts, medicine is really a good profession to be in because it is a profession of caregivers. So I do like it. I really like it. It was my mom's dream, actually, for me to become a doctor. It wasn't my dream. And again, I kind of got started because she really wanted me to do that, but it grew on me. And I'm so glad that it did.
You mentioned that you always wanted to pursue journalism and media, but that growing up in India, that wasn't really an option. Were there any moments or stories that made this lack of opportunity really evident to you? And were there any people in your life that explicitly discouraged you from being a journalist?
So, you know, I grew up in India in late 80s, and that time the workforce was just opening up for women. And my mother was the first woman in the family to go to college. So when the workforce became open, it still wasn't wide open. And women were encouraged to do jobs where you could give back to the community. So, you know, whether in the medical profession or as teaching. Journalism was kind of always very controversial. I think it still is. So we were really not encouraged. At that stage, the excitement was more to get a great job, do something back, and also have a paycheck. So you're not dependent on anybody. It's only, I think, when I came here to the United States in the land of opportunities, so to speak, and options, that I started to feel bad if I didn't get an opportunity or if I felt I didn't get an opportunity because of my age or because of my color or because I was older. It's, you know, when you have options, then it bothers you. If you don't have options, you kind of accept it sometimes and go with the flow.
I wanted to ask you just a little bit about your mom. I know you said that she influenced you to become a doctor. And what other ways did she influence like who you've become today?
My mother was very special. And she unfortunately passed away 10 years ago. As I told you, she was the first woman from our family to go to college. So education was very important for her. She wanted to make sure that her daughter was educated. And the independence was very important for her because in India, there are a lot of arranged marriages. So you get married and then you're pretty much dependent in the family that you marry into. Divorce was not very common. If you really didn't get along in those days, then you came back to your parents' home. There's a lot of shame associated with that. So her most important thing for me was to have a career. Career that I could be proud of and that I wouldn't depend on anybody. She liked medicine a lot. She would have loved to be a doctor herself, but she didn't get that opportunity. That's why I chose this profession. My mom always taught me to do the right thing. And I think that's one of the most important lessons I've learned from her, because when you work in different parts of the world and, you know, you're doing all these different things, you encounter people culturally who are different, who do things differently. But then if you just keep your focus on doing the right thing, eventually it falls in place.
Once Manju became a doctor, she could finally experiment and follow her love for storytelling. She became the president of the Indian Medical Association of New England, which surrounded her with a lot of top-notch doctors. Manju was fascinated by these inspiring people.
You know, they had sometimes come from small towns in India, and then they were working as the head of departments in Mass General and all these big hospitals in Boston. So I got very excited. So I said, I need to find out what motivates them and, you know, what is the common thread behind all these achievers.
She started an interview series called Movers and Shakers in Medicine, her first big break in community journalism. It was then that Manju finally started to blend her medical interests with her love for media. Another big break came right after Manju won an award for her community engagement work.
At that time, I was also working for the community a lot, and I won an award called Woman of the Year Award. So the publisher of the newspaper, Indian New England News, who did the award show as well as ran the newspaper, then invited me to do an interview series called Chai with Manju. And that was about 10 years ago. So chai means tea in India. So it means in other words, you have this cozy conversation with me. And that has become, I think, one of the most popular interview series by an Indian American unionized says. So I'm very proud of that.
You know, you've said that you've been doing this for a while, over a decade. What have these projects taught you about yourself and the world around you?
You learn a lot from people that you interview. And because it's a celebrity interview series, first of all, you learn how focused they are and how motivated they are. And what you learn from observing them and tapping into yourself is that in life, it's like the Nike ad, just do it. No, because as women, I think sometimes we tend to overthink. And the moment you start to overthink things, then that leads to the analysis paralysis, and we end up not doing things. So I feel if you really want to do something, then just go and do it. The deeper I tap into myself and I stay focused on my goals, then I don't worry about what other people are going to say, you know, what people are going to think, whether they're going to think I'm good or bad. So I think staying focused on the goals is very important. I call myself a goal digger instead of a goal digger, you know, G-O-A-L. I think in life, if you just focus on our goals, everything else falls away.
With her daughter, Manju encourages the passion she was pressured not to pursue as a kid. She loves seeing her child follow in her footsteps with storytelling, but appreciates that she can still forge a path all her own.
A little bit more about your daughter. Right. I know you mentioned that you take her to interviews. What is it like to have her there?
We just have this one child. Her name is Charlene. And we really have a very deadly disease called only child syndrome. So we never left the poor kid alone. So my husband is a doctor also. So, he was working and, I worked, did a lot of my media stuff in the weekend. I didn't want her to be home alone. So I would just take her with me. And in the beginning, it didn't excite her. But later on, it kind of grew on her. And she would just sit there and watch the interviews being done. And then slowly, to my surprise, I remember we had a beautiful young girl called Sonika Ved, who's from New England, and she was the first Indian American girl to get to the top five in American Idol. So of course my daughter was there and all, you know, and she loves music. And then Sonika was very nice to her. And then she ended up interviewing very impulsively Sonika for her school magazine, I think. So that kind of got her excited, and she was very good with it. And then when she went to Babson, she interned there in the media marketing office. That was her job there, to make some money. And then she graduated in the year that we had COVID. COVID started. So everybody was very depressed at that time and very not really motivated. So we decided that let's start a media platform, and we're going to call it Women Who Win. So we have another friend, Deepa Shisma. She's my best friend. So the three of us put together this empowerment platform for women. We started showcasing the stories about the woman next door, the daily dreamer, to the big celebrities and how they became successful. And what started as a small project, really 2.5 years ago, it's become such a global project. We are in 80 countries. We have done over 400 stories. You know, we have employees, we have interns. And it's a, you know, that's why I say, you know, involve your children. Involve your children in what you do. And at least it gives them an option to like something which could be very special for them. She didn't like medicine, unfortunately. But at least she liked this.
Oh, that's such a, I think that's such a great story. I'm also an only daughter, only child. So I
know.
Yes, I understand the only child syndrome very well. And so I was wondering, I know you talked a lot about bringing your daughter to your work and her learning from you. What have you learned from your daughter?
So I feel the biggest two things that this generation or your generation has. One is the resilience, because I think that you bounce back much faster. Second thing that I really learned from my daughter is that when I first started in media, I really didn't have a thick skin. It really used to bother me what people thought about me, or if somebody said negative things in social media. And I feel the generation, you know, younger generation really doesn't care much about what other people are saying. They're a little bit more tall, you know, they just, a little bit thick skin that you really need to be to protect yourself. And I think another, I think quality that your generation, my daughter's generation has, is they're better at a work-life balance. My daughter refuses to work on Saturday. No matter how much I tell her that, you know, we should have a meeting, let's go do these interviews. So she'll tell me, you go do it, you know, I have to party with my friends. She'll work hard the rest of the week, but I cannot touch her Saturdays. Whereas I will sacrifice most get-togethers and, okay, you know, this is a good interview, I'll go do it. So I think you have a much better work-life balance. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like this era is all about like hard balances, yes. Hard no's.
Yes,
especially like coming out of the pandemic, you know, you want to be able to like breathe a little bit. So that's great. We love no working on Saturday. What roadblocks do you face as like a woman of color in mainstream media?
People are not really aware, and they're not really racist. It's just the fear of unknown. Things like, for example, we do the biggest award show for Indian Americans. And we've had major celebrities. And we honor so many people, but you know, I have never seen any mainstream media want to cover it. They just show no interest whatsoever. You know, my show, for example, Chai with Manju, has millions and millions of views. You know, when this is the year that we celebrate a 10-year anniversary. And I know somebody who works with us and reached out and approached some of the local North Shore magazines. Some of them are very good, like MMSX Media was good, but a lot of big newspapers were not interested to do the story at all, which I feel is probably not the right thing. You have to be more inclusive and be appreciative of the work that other people are doing as well. So I feel there's a lot of, still a lot of miles to go still before we sleep.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. It is incredibly impactful, not just in your community, but in so many others.
Right.
Yeah. And so I did want to ask, how does it feel to not have that external recognition from mainstream media?
So, yes, it does hurt. But then again, if you, you know, in India, we say when you make a sculpture out of stone, you just have to keep hammering at it. And then it starts to take shape. Like, I think things are changing, but I wish they would change faster, because I feel that you do get left out. For example, if there is a big political event, I think it's very important that they should include the media of other, other media as well, not just Boston Globe and Nacho Magazine and Boston Herald. You invite other people too, because they are voting, they are supporting you, they are living here, they are paying the taxes. I just feel that the mainstream media should do these stories.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think especially women of color, we add so many different perspectives to news, to media. What advice would you have for younger women of color, even women of color who are older, that like want to get into this space and want to carve like an area for themselves and their community?
And again, it's, and I tell my daughter the same thing, because sometimes she'll tell me, Mom, I work harder than anybody else to probably get the same recognition. I have to work 10 times harder. If you make a presentation, for example, somebody else who's local is making a presentation, people are all ears. Even if there are any faults, they basically will skim over it. Whereas if I have to make a presentation, I have to grab their attention. It is not given to me. I have to seek it, want it, earn it. Whereas I feel that a lot of people don't have to earn it. I've had to earn everything, you know. I have to, it is not given to me. And I think the increasing the awareness of that we are here, take every opportunity that you get to go meet people, educate them about you, educate them about your culture. Because a lot of, we all live in our comfort zone. And a lot of bias against you is not necessarily due to race or age or color, sex. A lot of it is down to, we don't know you. And I think that the moment you start educating people or trying to get to know them as well, it becomes, you have to go out and get to know people and let them know you. Like for my award show, what I do is all my chief guest and all, I don't invite, I often will get my chief guests who are not necessarily from the Indian American community. You know, I'll invite others like Catherine Clark, who was our Democratic whip. So she came for my last award show because I felt that way they have a window to our world, and we have a window to their world. And you, that subconscious bias that you may not be aware of also goes away.
Despite the lack of support for her passions, Manju shows us that if you have good work ethic and you never give up on yourself, you can do anything. Through it all, her mother, her daughter, and her husband have been by her side. And it's taught me that even if you're the only one on your path, you're never alone.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner and published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Brasovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adekobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to include a special thank you to Stephanie Lawrence, Harlene Singh, and Kristen Mullen, the WSRC team. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.